Lamentations, chapter number 3. Lamentations, chapter number 3. I'll give you a few thoughts, since I don't know what I'm preaching. And then we'll go to choir, all right? Tim Lane said this, if you have suffered deeply, you are on to something that most people aren't. You know that this life is flawed. Strangely, that is a good thing. Now allow that to move you toward God, to renew your faith in Him and your need of Him. All of us have things in common, but I know of one thing at least that we have in common. We're either in a storm, we're headed for a storm or something of that nature, or we're coming out of a storm. That's something we all have in common, is these storms that are around us. And if your Bible thinking and reading and beliefs ain't, you know, if they're weak, if they're not right, if they're not grounded in the Scriptures, then you'll think about receiving from God. What can I get out of God versus how can I rest in God? God gives His people a rest. And there's people out there, there's doctrine out there where people think that he's on a rocking chair and I can get whatever I want and what can I get out of Him? But suffering and trials and things that we go through, the Bible would direct you to a place of rest, to rest in your God, to trust in Him. You hear words such as refuge and shadow of His wings and Him covering you and being with you. And the Bible gives clarity about how God designs things in our lives and things that accompany our worst days, that God is still there, that God is still with us, that God in the valley is there with us. So I think the Bible would dare us tonight to believe that when God seems most absent, that is when He is most active, that He is there. That he is your lifeline, that you dare to believe and trust that when I can't pray and when I can't reach Him and when I feel the darkness is hovering over me and I all I can do is cry, listen, that is when God is typically most at work in your life. And He's got something going on for you that we just have to look, continue to look for, and it's a daily thing. And I'm reminded of before I get to Lamentations, I like 1 Corinthians. We read this in the conference. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. He says, blessed be God, verse 3, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And so God allows things and we're comforted by Him for the purpose not to waste your burden or your trial or the thing you're dealing with, your storm, but to comfort others. So a few thoughts tonight on just our greatest need in the valley, our greatest need in the valley. Let me pray. Father, Lord, what a night. Thank you, Lord, for how you touch your hearts of your people and you hear those praises. You hear people trying to vocalize, Lord, your awesomeness, your grace and your mercy and your glory and what you're doing in all of our lives. And I know probably many others could have said something, but Lord, thank you for the ones that spoke for you and gave you glory tonight. Lord, I pray you bless them. I pray you continue to help them and encourage and strengthen, Lord. There's things that we've all gone through and dealt with and regrets that we have and situations even now, storms that we're in. But God, you're with us. You're there with us. And I pray that as we look at these couple of verses, we'll have so much strength added to us, God, that we leave this place even more encouraged. Lord, thank you that you're a God that is with us, that you walk with us and that you bless and you guide and you direct. And we, even times when we feel alone, we're not alone. And I pray, God, that with some clarity tonight, we would leave this place stronger, more encouraged, more joy, more zeal, more passion, more glory for you, Lord. Help us, God, to just stand in your shadow and behold your glory and what you're doing for all of us. Lord, thank you for all that you do and what you're going to do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So there's things that we face and there's things that we deal with that sometimes will leave us with those unanswered questions. And sometimes questions only get answered by pain. There's questions you deal with, things that you face, that it's only through the pain that you will receive the answer. And those things can distance us, if we let it, it can distance us from who God is for us in Christ, if we allow it, if we let it. And so we behold Him as sovereign. We behold God as good. We call Him a good God. We behold Him as near to us in our lives and in our situations. But when the trial comes and the darkness looms and the things press us, at times we can feel that God is all of a sudden, He's out of reach. Where did He go? What happened to Him? And we begin to maybe send Him the stink eye. Maybe we look at Him from the side and we don't trust Him like we did. We think of Him as He's a good gift giver, this God of ours, but can He also be seen as a gift taker when He takes things away? We find that God has put a book together for us. God has given us this word to encourage us. God has given us something here that even when we're so quick to doubt, God is a God that is quick to respond in spite of your doubts. And we find in this book here throughout the ages, throughout sufferings of other Christians, church history, God's put together a book here that has words that not only are they true, but they're strengthening. Not only are these words true, but they're satisfied. Not only are they true, but they sanctify, they cleanse, they wash, they exhort, they cut in ways that we could not fathom. These words that God has given us in this book. This book is a book about God. And no matter how many tears, no matter how many fears, no matter how many horrible things, these are words that we can hold fast to, that the God of heaven can be trusted and get us through the valley of whatever you're facing right now and get us through whatever we're dealing with. So let's read here verses chapter number 3, verse number 21. Now, some of this stuff, you've seen it on a T-shirt maybe. You've seen it on a bumper sticker. But the Bible is much better than bumper stickers. I don't like bumper sticker theology. I don't get my thinking off the back of a car, all right? I get it out of the Word of God. And these words help you if you let it. Notice verse number 21. This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. I think about this text and I think about the one that penned these words and the sufferings that Jeremiah and the things that he was dealing with. And like any trial, any storm that you've gone through, anything that you're facing here in life tonight that you're dealing with, Jeremiah was no stranger to loss. And we read these words, understanding the background of these words is the city, which Babylon is in waste. To Jerusalem before his very eyes. It's laid in waste, ashes it talks about. His attackers are drawing away children, dragging them away. He's watching the rulers of Israel flee, running. He's looked as the old and young alike in this culture. They're groping around looking for bread. They're trying to figure things out and they're trying to get stuff to sustain them, and yet they're coming up empty-handed, and they're covered in ashes, and it's a very dark situation. And when he couldn't take anymore, when his eyes couldn't see anymore, he wept. He's a weeping prophet. We find him weeping, and even as his vision is blurred through the tears, and his stomach churns through the hunger and the fears and the desperation. His mind holds fast to something that is sturdy, that is fixed, greater than Solomon's temple. We find this very simple word in verse number 21. This, he says, this, I love it. This I recall to my mind. There's some things that you as a Christian, you can recall to your mind. There are some things that you can encourage yourself with in your mind. There's a whole Genesis of Revelation you can look at. But this I recall to my mind. He says, therefore have I hope. When you're going through the valley, you have great needs. But number one, I think about this. And I shared this part of this with the conference. When you cannot see for the darkness that's around you, I'm not talking about physical seeing, all right? When you cannot see for the darkness, when you cannot see for the storm, when you cannot find your way and you're groping around for hope and for help and all those things, when you cannot see, read. When you cannot see, read. You have these words. This I recall in my mind, therefore I have a hope. Because he has this, he says, the truth of God's mercy, the truth of God's love, his faithfulness, he recalls that truth to mind. And there's, when the pain comes, church, when the pain and the trials, when those things rise up and they shout that God is not there and God does not care and God is not going to help you in the moment, the psalmist would direct our attention to God. Jeremiah would direct our attention to God. He directs his thoughts toward God. The Word of God says in Psalm 90, verse number 2, from everlasting to everlasting is our God. Everlasting, that covers everything. That covers all that we would ever think, all that we would ever need. And you can imagine the lengths that Jeremiah would have gone to, maybe possessing the entirety of scriptures like we have. But yet he said this was sufficient for his time of need. And I just want to say, might the entirety of scripture be a blessing to you, be an encouragement to you, be a strengthening agent to you. Might the entirety of this book be sufficient for us, right? Through the tears, through the losses, through the pain, through the unanswered questions, through the sorrows of our thoughts, through the darkness of our lives, we can arrive at truth, and we can arrive at its only source, being God. We can get there for what things that we deal with. We can't see the fog of loss, the fog of grief. We can read. When I cannot see, because of my spiritual eyes have been blinded in the fog of life and the darkness that is around me because of my storm, I can still read and listen. Because of this word, because of the Bible, you have no shortage of hope tonight. You with me? Y'all listening? You have no shortage of hope. Whether you know you're dying tomorrow, or you got 25, 30 more years, whether you got zero in the bank, you got millions in the bank, whether you are a doctor or whether you are just a normal guy, all right? You have hope tonight. No matter what the trial, no matter what the thing, no matter what the storm. Romans 15:4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the scriptures might, what? Have hope. That through the comfort of the scriptures that I might have hope. And you will have hope through the scriptures. And we'd be wise to read and reread the passages that talk about the darkness, that talk about our issues and our unanswered question. Is God sovereign over your storm? What is he doing? What is he doing in the pain? What is he doing? What good is in my storm? What good is in my darkness? And I think about Job 1, I think about Isaiah 48, I think about Psalm 91, I think about Psalm 119, I think about Romans 8. You could go to all those places when you can't find a way out of your grief and in your suffering and in your darkness and in your valley. You can go and you can read. Number two, when I think about our needs in the darkest moments of life in the valley. I think about this text here. This I recall to mind. Therefore have I hope. And he says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. So when you cannot pray, and when it's dark and it's gloomy, and the trials are there, and all you can do is cry, when you cannot pray, I want you to think about this word, repeat. Repeat. Not repeat after me, but repeat after God. There are some things that he's written. God affects all the totality of man. The gospel saves the whole man. But valleys and sufferings and griefs, they affect us. They affect more than our ability to get truth into our brains, into our minds. But it can keep us from getting truth out of our mouths in prayer when we go through things, when we're in the valleys and parting from loved ones and dealing with diseases and dealing with disappointments and failures and darkness and all different things. When grief and valleys are there, we if we're not careful, we'll curl into ourselves. We'll want to be isolated. We'll put on a fake mask in church, and we'll not let that monster out to be dealt with. And God would have a word for us. Jeremiah would have a word for us that God stands ready to help. No matter the unbelief, no matter the doubts, no matter the fears, God stands ready to help. And if you're not careful, you'll believe lies about God, that he's not interested in you. You'll believe lies that he doesn't care about your problem. You'll believe lies that this is a punishment for something. And he does discipline those whom he loves. But God also allows things for the purpose of training and teaching and growing us in the Christ likeness. And so you repeat these cloudy, dark moments. Not only can we speak his word to ourselves, but we can repeat his words to him. And so when I can't pray, I can open this book up and I can say these back to him. Right? This I recall in mind, therefore I have hope. I'm repeating, I'm praying here. Jeremiah's praying here, praying some things back to him. It's a God for us. The author is telling himself that God's mercies are new every morning. And he turns, notice immediately here, to address God. Great is thy faithfulness. So he's dealing with it in his head. All right. He's having this conversation. We have a God, fitting God here for prayer. All right. He's telling himself, God's mercies are new every morning. And upon telling himself what he has read, what he has experienced, he's able to pray and talk to God and immediately address him. Great is your faithfulness. Darkness in his moment here, and he's able to say that. He draws truth in one breath, and he lets truth out in the next. It's turns it into a prayer. And you say, well, that's real easy. He's written part of the Bible. He's got a book, all right? He's got skin in the game. He's got experience there. But I want you to see how hard it was for the writer to say this prayer. Back up to verse number 16. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity, and I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord, remembering mine affliction and my misery and the wormwood and the gall. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. That's what he was dealing with. That's the valley. That's the darkness that he was dealing with. He feels pain pull him away from God. You're pulled away from the power of God, and you're pulled over to being hopeless. When you leave God out of your situation, all you have is nothing. You have no hope. You have no light at the end of the tunnel, as they say. You have no way to get out of the fog without God. You'll stay, in the fog. You'll stay in the darkness if you leave God out. And he's telling us what happened here, what he's dealing with, how he's feeling, being brutally honest here. And he's writing this and he's saying these things, and God knows all about it. And Scripture, notice it's bad. It's verse 16 to verse 20. It's just such a weight there. And then verse 21, there's such glory. There's such hope there. Scripture can return you to a right thinking with God. Scripture and God's faithfulness in your life can turn you back to what we would say, I guess, speaking terms with God, where you're saying the things that you need to say, even though you feel like you can't say nothing. Grieving valley riding people, folks stuck in the valley, folks stuck in the fog of life. Listen, you have something you can say to God. You have something you can say. And what I love is this: when we lack words to say, God offers us His own. When I don't know how to pray for a situation, I can find words here that I can say, that I can pray. And so, man, he is, when you can't pray, you just repeat. When I've lost my words, I can go to the Bible. I have plenty of words there. Number three, as I'm looking at this, when you feel alone, as Jeremiah did, and broken teeth with gravel stones and cover me with ashes, he says, remove my soul far off from peace, forget prosperity. My strength, my hope perished from the Lord. Remember my affliction, my misery, wormwood and the gall. Man, that's a bad place. But when you are alone, you feel alone, remember three words: ever with us. Ever with us. He is ever with us. As you walk through these valleys and you know that God is still good, you say that. We can say that's a great song, but you need to mean it when you say it. And when we walk through our pain, when left to itself, it's not kind to us. Pain left to itself. But pain given to God will help you. Will serve a purpose. Sorrow will try to get the upper hand on reality and bend your heart towards doubt and mistrust and fears and, you know, I can't trust the Bible. I can't trust the church. I can't get in on all this godly stuff. That's what sorrow and grief and pain and valleys can do if you let it have the upper hand. It'll get you disoriented. But praise God, we need not feel or think or reason our way back into His fold, into His grip. We just open up the Word before us and we can read. And listen, you can take that Bible and you can pray a path. In your valley, you can pray a path. It's a light, right? Lamp to my feet. And so you can pray a path, no matter how dark it is. And it ain't got to be your words. Again, like I said, you can pray God's words because He is ever with us. And we can pray and we can get a path across the valley. And though maybe the loss is still there, maybe the grief is still looming, maybe you're stuck in the valley, but you can pray your way through it. And the valley we walk, listen, it's not so low that God can't get us. You don't go down so deep that God can't grab you. You're not so far gone that God can't do a work. If we are in Christ, we open the Word, we pray, we find that He is with us already. The psalmist would say in chapter 23, verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Ever with me. Not forsake me. Nothing can pluck me out of His hand. Amen. Great truths of the Word that when I cannot see Him and when my faith, for lack of a better word, is crushed and I'm disoriented and I'm pondering. There's doubt. There's fears. There's mistrust. I can crack this open with the truths, knowing that He is with me. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. Oh, His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore, will I hope in Him? Ever with you, this King of glory. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him. To the soul that seeketh Him, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. He will not let you down. He will be ever with you. And as folks in the valley, as folks that grieve, as folks that suffer, we can, as we open this up, as we pray, as we read, as we understand He's ever with us, whatever suffering, whatever pain, whatever grief, whatever torment, whatever valley, whatever anguish is there that is trying to push us away, through those things, what we need most of all is communion with God through His Word. And that, my friends, though you have had broken teeth with gravel stones and covered with ashes and removed far off from any peace and have no prosperity, it's forgotten, and strength and hope has perished from the Lord, and you have affliction ever before you, misery ever before you, labeled as wormwood and gall, soul still in remembrance, and it's humbled you, it's broken you to the brink of losing your mind. This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. Let the church say hallelujah. Amen. You have hope today, tonight. Let's pray. Father, thank You, Lord, that we have a hope that your...